Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 21st of September, recording at 9:12 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have just a quick review of the week, and my goodness, what an exciting week it has been in stock markets. We have seen some real strength following Ben Bernanke's rate cut. The big 50 basis points cut, which has restored confidence. And that has, say, produced across the board stock market rallies. And it has also led to some sharp profit taking in the long-dated section of the government bond market, although U.S. bonds have steadied up a little bit in here today, despite Wall Street continuing the rally. Asia was, incidentally, on stock markets, Asia has remained firm. India pushing through, following its breakout, another new high. But they were all pretty steady. And in the metal markets, it's been an exciting one for precious metals. Surging strength, a little bit of profit taking today, not surprisingly. But gold's only down $2 as I speak. And in currencies, a very weak U.S. dollar. That's been one of the factors behind gold, but gold's been rising against all currencies. And industrial metals saw a good rebound in nickel this week. They're mostly steady, slightly down today, although tin and lead were the exceptions. They were firmer. Among soft commodities, it's been generally rampant, although white sugar got hit with some profit-taking in here today. But the grain and bean complex has been really strong, and we've seen that again today. Cotton strong today. Coffee's been percolating along. So pretty impressive stuff. Crude oil. Now, is that down a little bit today? Yes, it is. 81.25. That's down 53 cents. And natural gas up 46 cents to just a little over $6. And that's pretty much it. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of the big picture outlook? Well, the climactic activity occurred on the 6th of August. A little bit more on the 7th, and then Bernanke came in with a first rate cut, a discount rate cut of 50 basis points. Markets liked that, and we saw a slight improvement in sentiment generally. That enabled We saw a slight improvement in sentiment in the markets that were really being battered by the banking subprime-related problems. Those were really located in the United States, in Europe, and also Japan, judging from the chart action there. Now, Asian markets, though, pushed on steadily higher. China has been a tour de force during the recent crisis of confidence, as you know. So we have had that divergence, but recently the Western markets have been much steadier overall, and they loved Bernanke's 50 basis point cuts that we saw. Was it on Tuesday? Yes, Tuesday evening. And so that has led to a definite improvement in confidence overall. Does that mean that the subprime problems are all over and behind us? No, of course not. There's other problems to be disclosed. Who's got the toxic waste? The next quarter's bank results, I think, for the banks affected are not going to be very good. My hunch, again, judging from the chart action, is there may be some big losses in that Japanese banking sector. I have absolutely no further insight on that. I'm just judging by the technical action. It's been as bad as for any banking sector overall. The UK, of course, is battered by that whole Northern Rock problem, and that sector is still looking fairly ropey here overall. So this is going to be around for a while. It's going to necessitate a lengthy convalescence for some of these companies and perhaps a few of these markets. But the really good news for a number of Floor Money subscribers who have tracked anything remotely close to my long-term investment portfolio is that it's really been looks refreshed as a result of the whole crisis. I did a review today of my long-term portfolio. I last did that on the 8th of August, just before going away on that cycling trip. I held everything, as you know. I didn't pare back, although knowing that a correction was coming, and because we'd been all been talking about it, we could see it on the charts. But I didn't sell anything out because I thought, well, I might not be able to get back in at better prices if they come off, and if they do come off, I think they'll bounce back very quickly. And that has been the case. Some substantial gains, I'm glad to say, as you'll see in that review. And including among the top 10 positions, six new all-time highs. And nine of those 10 positions are above their levels that we saw on the 8th of August, and some very substantially so, not least some of the gold-related investments, but also things like Rio. So there certainly are plenty of money-making opportunities out there. The India Fund that I hold, will probably most India funds, have surged in here recently. China Fortune Fund, again, surging. So there are good opportunities here. Now, I think and we still have some big discounts on those and some of those investment trusts. So there are opportunities here. Having said that, this overall subprime problem is not over and will not go away. We will see the effects in slower GDP growth, certainly in the USA. We were probably going to get some of that anyway due to the previous interest rate increases. Ditto in Europe, in the UK. But overall, I think that we have moved back into a benign environment. Now, for that to be right, I think we would require further interest rate cuts. I do expect that from the Fed, at least another 50 basis points this year and 25 point increments. I do expect some interest rate cuts from the UK and the USA. India has been talking about the possibility of some interest rate cuts, although it's certainly not affected by subprime problems, and Indian banks keep hitting new highs. But it does look as if the tightening cycle is over for more countries. Not all. China may still tighten somewhat more. So you net it all out, and we get a slight slowing in the global economic expansion. But the U.S. probably muddles through without the recession, as I've said all along, although the risks are still to the downside for the economy. But markets are already reappraising and like the easier money rates. They like the decisive action that Bernanke has taken in here, and I do think we will see a fairly benign environment for equities. I had been looking for the fourth quarter of this year, and that could easily extend well into next year. Having just seen a medium-term correction for many markets, not all, some of the Asian markets just resisted that, and with some of the commodity producers, it was a now you see the correction, now you don't, just a quick spike down and then right back up. But having seen that correction, and now knowing that the markets that have or the economies that have struggled in here, that they're now seeing interest rate cuts, or will see interest rate cuts rather than further hikes. Again, that contributes to the benign environment and makes me feel that we won't see another medium-term correction without some sort of exogenous shock. Now, I don't think exogenous shocks are lurking around the next corner, but if I have a concern about one, it might be a terrorist a terrorist act. We've seen all these bin Laden tapes coming out recently. But again, I'm not predicting one of those. How could one? And I'm not going to adjust my portfolio on the basis of that. But the point is, a benign environment, I think, for the next 4 to 6 months, possibly longer. And that's good. That's very good news. And I think many of us will be relieved to see that we didn't get more damage in the markets most hit by this subprime situation. There may be some longer convalescences that actually occur, but as far as I'm concerned, the strength of that for money investment portfolio, that's my personal portfolio, of course, that pretty much says it all. And in terms of good quality, interesting situations, they're doing very well. I also like this tech sector, the big cap techs. And you saw Owen's review of that, or you may have seen it that he did yesterday. So there are interesting opportunities in here. Now, what about the next worries? Government bonds. We did see some big profit taking there, as I mentioned. I do not want to see bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, push straight back up to the highs that we saw a few months ago. That would be a concern, definitely. Now, my hunch is that that won't happen because I think there'll be enough of a slowdown in growth that despite the food price inflation, that bonds won't collapse in here. And I think that that lower interest rate cycle and the Fed's need to recapitalize the banking system through the yield curve, albeit at the taxpayers' expense, will help to keep the long-dated government bonds from surging in terms of yields. Now, if that's the case, that will be favorable for the benign environment for global stock markets. But in the very short term, we have seen some of that money coming out of bonds and going back into equities, and I think we'll see a bit more of that. I also mentioned yesterday that we'd seen a lot of short covering in here that had taken some of the demand away, and with some stock markets or individual shares back up near their highs, or at least looking a whole lot better than they did back in the middle of August, that it would be tempting for some people to who felt the pain. And it's understandable that some of them would want to come in and chop some of those positions overall. So don't be surprised if we get some rangy activity. But I don't expect dramatic volatility. I expect the volatility to abate here somewhat. So I'm really looking for sideways to higher ranging. Now, if that's too optimistic, watch for breaks of loss of this week's lows. Yeah, watch this week's lows, and that would show that markets were encountering some resistance following the ranging, and that they were susceptible to a bit of retracement. Now, watch also the bank indices. I mean, you could say that really 360 days a year, or at least the days the markets are open, we want to be watching the banking indices because they are lead indicators, very important ones. And if the European banks, for instance, were to continue to deteriorate, the US banks have rallied quite substantially. If the European ones continue to deteriorate, that would be bad for those markets generally. And I certainly expect Europe to underperform some of these Asian markets, for instance. India has really surged to life in here. Remember, that was predictably dull in the first half of the year, but it's certainly doing fine now. Hong Kong, explosive, a major beneficiary from lower U.S. Interest rates. So again, interesting opportunities here in markets, and I would sell fear. I would short fear. I think the fear will has peaked. It did back in that August period. Number of people are still looking around a bit dazed here, saying, "Can that really be it?" And of course, there was some apocalyptic bearish comment. We certainly didn't publish the most extreme of what we saw. I felt some of it was irresponsible and manipulative, and the rest just some dramatic hyperbole here. Yeah, we always get that. We get that type of emotion in markets. I don't mind people forwarding stuff like that to me, but there were limits to how much we were going to publish because we disagreed with it so strongly, even though we like to provide a broad range of views, while always making clear exactly what the fuller money view is, and I hope that came across. Okay, would I invest in long-dated government bonds? No. Would I invest in stock markets? Yes, preferably the fuller money themes. And would I invest in the U.S. dollar? No, absolutely not. I'm short the U.S. dollar. So I don't like that. That is likely to be a future problem because I've said all along that one major risk would be that the U.S. dollar would take out its lows and its historic lows of the 1990s, and I think it has hit a new all-time low on the dollar index. If it hasn't, it's been mighty close to it. Now, if we get some acceleration on the downside, that would worry, I think, markets generally. Whereas a gradually declining dollar will generally be regarded as okay by the Asian countries, even though they have some dollar investments, but it'll be okay with them. Because they know that currency strength there helps to offset commodity import costs, and that's important in terms of inflation. For instance, I'd mentioned yesterday that crude oil, we've heard all about the new highs, but that's in US dollar terms, not against euros, not against renminbi, not against Swiss francs, not against sterling. Even though sterling has softened recently. And what else to mention here? Precious metals, very strong. I think we will see that continue for the next few months. A lot of people have said, well, wait a minute here. This is mostly the Armageddon scenario, and now that markets have steadied somewhat and we're getting rate cuts, that's not going to be so good for precious metals. I disagree. I've always disagreed with the Armageddon script, and you saw during the most panicky selling that we were seeing back in the middle of August, that gold was getting hit as well. It didn't fall as much as some other things, but it certainly wasn't a haven. And we have seen the gold come into its own. In this environment, in recent months, we've got the advance buying for the Christmas season. We have advance buying for the Chinese New Year. We have advance buying for the Indian wedding season. That's usually leads to cyclical strength at this time of year for gold and other precious metals. And we have the weak dollar. We have the breakout from the long consolidation area, which is improving sentiment overall for bullion, enabling it to appreciate against all currencies. And Owen and I have described this as a perfect storm, and I see that carrying gold higher again over the next few months. So I do like that sector, and I've been building up my positions conservatively behind in the money stops. Now, looking out, well, let me just round out on the commodities, the agricultural commodities. This is a concern. It's also an opportunity. There are certainly trading opportunities in these markets, but we are definitely seeing and going to see more food price inflation right across the boards. That's going to be a bit of a problem. Now, we have to be careful about inflation. We tend to generalize too much, I think, and we are not going to see a whole lot of inflation in manufactured goods. Yes, some production costs have gone up, but not dramatically anywhere. The wage pressure is contained in most, not all, but most instances, and that is a positive factor. Now, energy prices are higher, but they're not spiking, which is good. And the inflation that we're mostly seeing, therefore, is in not in wages, it's not in manufactured goods, it's in the household bills, that normal monthly household bills, and that includes the foods. Now, this is going to give central banks a problem here, and they do have to do some jawboning, but they're in the business of managing inflationary expectations. And if they do that successfully, then that will prevent bond yields from rallying too quickly, and it will be a favorable overall environment for stock markets. But precious metals clearly have the whiff of inflation in here. Now, in big picture themes here, I have talked about stock markets as well. I've said really for must be at least 2 years, I've said that I did not feel that we would see a bear market before the 2009-2010 period at the earliest. I'm very much still of that view, and as I had said at the beginning of this broadcast, I think that the problems that we have seen recently and causing interest rates to start coming down in the U.S., the correction that we have occurred has cleared the air for a while. So it's pushed the boat out a little bit, which means that that forecast of not getting a bear market, and I know there's a lot that can go on in the next year or so, but I still hold this view. I don't see any deterioration in those odds. In other words, odds that we won't see a bear market in equities before 2009, 2010 at the earliest. Now I'm talking about a global bear market. Some people could point out quite rightly that financial shares have experienced a bear market, at least the Western financial shares and the Japanese banking shares. So have property shares in some of those countries, certainly U.S. and parts of Europe. But we always get that type of dramatic rotational move in terms of indices, in terms of the overall picture. We certainly haven't seen that. And indeed, in terms of some of my favorite stock market areas, we didn't even see a correction. We saw barely a hiccup. Okay. In terms of other big economic themes, inflation, I have been saying in recent months that inflationary pressures had been subsiding somewhat. We've seen that coming out in the evidence, but it is 100% guaranteed that we are going to see food price inflation. That is firmly in the pipeline, and there's no let up yet in terms of these prices. So that is definitely going to happen. And I do maintain that we are in a choppy long-term erratic cycle of gradually increasing inflationary pressures. And that increases the risk as we get measures to counter those inflationary pressures, and as those inflationary pressures cut into household expenditure and also into some business spending, it can contribute to some stagflation. That's not an immediate problem, but it is out there in the more distant future. And I think that's pretty much it. Exciting week. A good one if you have any positions remotely similar to mine. And let's rest over the weekend on that. Enjoy it. And I have no doubt there'll be plenty more money-making opportunities in the weeks ahead. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.